Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog Indiana.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my wonderful friend, Frank.
I'll go with that.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. It's not my best work.
It'll work.
It's fine.
It'll work. How's it going, bud?
It's very good. It's very good, Frank. It's very good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Wonderful.
I'm doing wonderful, you might even say. Yes.
That's a very nice thing to say.
Yeah.
And Palmer, how are you?
I'm just doing okay.
You're just doing okay.
I'm just doing okay. I am not going with the charade that you two
are. You saying that we're not doing wonderfully? We're doing fine.
I'm looking at you two, and if that's wonderful.
Wow. Ooh. Wow.
All right. What are you
drinking?
Look,
I know I haven't showered in 5 days, but I mean, my water is broken.
Your water broke?
Water? No, I'm just no.
Oh,
No, the water pipes.
Congrats. Yep, that's why I have a big belly. I'm definitely pregnant.
That was a pregnant pause.
That was very.
There was a pregnant pause as Frank asked Palmer, "What are you drinking?"
I really shouldn't be drinking this if I'm pregnant.
Your water already broke. Damage
or
done.
For the past 9 months of recording this show.
I am drinking Irish Red by Samuel Adams.
Mm.
Interesting.
I really like what Sam Adams has done with all their labels.
Yeah, they've been great.
They've moved away from having Sam on the label and like putting him in funny little, you know, like Lederhosen or whatever for different themes.
Yep.
And they're instead just redesigned. I don't know. I like it. I like it. It's a very minimalist, clean look, and I like it.
Indeed.
And the beer is good too.
And the beer is also good. Yeah.
Yes.
We're drinking the same thing, Frank.
We are.
What are we drinking?
We're drinking the Ballast Point Unfiltered Sculpin. An extra hopped IPA. Now, you know, they have the grapefruit Sculpin, which I'm familiar with.
Yes.
And I don't know if I may have never had the unfiltered Sculpin.
Really?
I don't like grapefruit, so I stay away from...
It's a limited release.
It does say that, so this must be new. I usually stay away from it because I'm like, oh, grapefruit, I don't like that.
You don't like grapefruit?
No, it's too bitter for me.
No one likes grapefruit.
Yeah, I feel like people are lying when they say like grapefruit.
Yeah. I like grapefruit.
See, and I naturally
I don't
think
believe
you're
lying. You. Yeah.
Wow.
No, I just don't like my wife Marissa loves like the Harpoon UFO grapefruit. She loves that. And she likes the Sculpin too. The grapefruit.
Yeah.
Sculpin. Just doesn't do it. I just have never liked the taste of grapefruit. So.
So what are you liking of this one?
I love this because it's not grapefruit. It's the Sculpin. It's the IPA part without the grapefruit. Right. So I enjoy it.
Behind the scenes for everyone, seeing as how I can do that because I'm not here all that often. Mm. Not only are you two drinking the same beer, but the rug is also drinking the same beer.
As you That is true. We had a little mishap where
we had a spillage.
A beer was down.
I only have so many fingers, and you only have so many hands to grab things.
And I'm a clumsy man.
Because you were too busy playing with iOS 11 is what you were doing.
A little bit. A little bit. Yeah. Well, that's a topic for another day. But what is a topic for today is how the best Superman movie I've seen in 11 years came out. And so we should talk about that.
That's sexist, right? That's totally sexist.
No, it's not at all. Wonder Woman was phenomenal. It was everything I wanted and more, and I'm so happy.
Tell us more.
It's a movie.
Tell me more. Tell me more.
It came out. I feel like I'm doing a lot of talking and you guys are not, and I'm kind of worrying that you don't agree with me, and that makes me sad if that's true. I freaking loved it. I freaking loved it.
See, I think you're blind.
No, I absolutely loved Wonder Woman.
Because you've been so down on DC films.
I know, and that's why I'm such a big DC fan. I'll be first in line when they do a good job. And they finally...
I'll be first in line when you get it right.
And they did. Listen, this, if nothing else, proved to me... And Zack Snyder and... What's his wife's name? Deborah?
Deborah.
Yeah. They produced. They produced.
And
story by. And story by. Yeah, story by Zack Snyder. So it proves to me they can do a good DC Heroes movie if they want to. They just haven't wanted to until now.
I think they wanted to, Frank.
No, I don't think they did, because they didn't. They didn't do it until now. So clearly, they've learned some lessons, and they finally did a good one.
Right,
so
well,
I'm happy. I'm still skeptical of the DC universe overall, but I'm like, okay, they did one. Maybe now they can do two. Maybe in November we're in for another.
Okay.
Two.
Well, here's why I'm saying. So this is why I'm saying. I think that they wanted to, because as listeners may or may not know, do they know Palmer? You've been on the show before, right?
I've been on once or twice during conventions.
Yes.
Great. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, Palmer's back.
And listeners of Supergirl TV Talk have heard Palmer many times.
Right. Yes. Exactly. So, very famously in our lives.
I know. I am usually very down on DC.
No, the people don't get sarcasm when they don't know you
that well.
One of Palmer's very favorite movies is Batman v Superman.
I know.
And so
BVS DOJ.
DOJ, as he calls the whole thing. You got to have the Dawn of Justice.
It's just not the whole title without it.
Right. So, so those movies do speak to people. And I think I sit in the middle of you two, where Frank is very, Frank's very down on them and Palmer's very up on them. And I'm very, I think they're good. I think there needs to be some improvements, but they're definitely good.
Yeah.
And so I think they are. So I think they are made for a very particular crowd. So that being said, Frank is totally on board for Wonder Woman and what they've done.
Yep.
Palmer, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are almost like Frank's. I thought it was really good. Four and a half stars.
Okay.
It's probably my second favorite DCU movie.
Okay.
I liked DCEU. Right. Well, right. DCMU.
Whatever we want to call it, yeah.
The official is DCEU.
Yeah.
The E makes no sense.
Man of Steel,
BVS DOJ,
Suicide Squad,
and now Wonder Woman.
Yep.
So out of those four, this was your second favorite?
Yes.
Your first was BVS DOJ?
Yes.
Okay.
With Man of Steel maybe beating out Suicide Squad, although I really liked Suicide Squad.
I did too. I thought it, for what it did. I thought it was pretty good.
But it got the character right. It got the character right.
Wonder Woman, you mean? Yes.
Yes. It got her right so much. Mm. And we joked about it when we were sitting when me and Tim went to go see it in the theater. We were joking about it back and forth. Like, you feel Geoff Johns.
Yes.
Geoff Johns doesn't get any credit for writing. Doesn't get any credit for, like, acting.
Yeah, he got, like, a special thanks or something.
Co-wrote
he got
a special script.
Did he really?
He co-wrote the script.
He didn't get a writing credit, though.
But his credit's not in there. But if Alan Heinberg, I think, wrote the script. Okay. I think that's his name. Heinberg, something like that. I could use my one lookup, but I'm not going to. He talks about, thank you, Geoff, for the opportunity to co-write this movie.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, so... but I don't think Geoff wants the credit because he's
no.
Well, he's president.
He's overlooking the.
He's got a lot of credit for other things. Like, he has no reason to get credit for writing it well.
Is he like the Feige now?
He's the Feige.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm
sure this is the first movie
under his
whole tour because he came in part of the way.
He came in at the very end of Suicide Squad.
So this is his first like. I'm in charge movie. And you could feel, because after a while, like, you could feel his fingerprints all over. So after a while, I would just turn to Palmer and wag my fingers every time a Geoff Johnsism showed up.
Like, a lot of the back and forth felt very Johnsy. Like, even if he didn't write it, it was obvious that they looked at his scripts.
Yes.
And, like, Gail Simone and some of the better Wonder Woman writers, or even better comic writers in general, and saw how snappy the dialogue was.
Totally agree.
The mythos, I'll give you, Rucker is really good with the mythos. I haven't been that high on his current run.
You know,
I haven't either, to be honest.
Yeah,
I haven't either.
I don't think his current stuff's that good. I didn't feel a lot of Greg Rucka in this because his stuff's kind of heavy.
Yeah.
His stuff's kind of heavy. There's a lot of Perez in this. There's a lot of George Perez in this.
George Perez, yeah.
Well, Patty Jenkins, the director, said specifically... Like, people were like, what did you run from? Like, where did you pull from? And she said, Marston's original run,
which you can
definitely feel, especially when they're talking, when Diana and Steve are on the boat. And she said, I've read all 12 volumes of the, you know, and they're talking about men aren't important for, you know, they're not important for pleasure, but only for reproduction. Like, that's all early Marston stuff. But it was George Perez in his run on the character that really pulled in the Greek mythology, because that really wasn't a thing until then. Unbelievably, it wasn't until 1985 that somebody said, maybe she should work with the gods and stuff.
Oh. Well, I mean, to be fair, in the 70s, she went through like the hot pants and the...
Yeah, she went through the depowered stage and all that stuff. But before, and well, in Marston's run, it was a lot of World War II stuff, Dr. Poison, all that stuff. And then... And then she went through, I'm Steve Trevor's girlfriend stage in the 50s and 60s. And then in the 70s was her depowered stage. So then it was George Perez that really did this whole, like, she's part of this Greek pantheon.
Was that post-crisis that became a thing?
That's post-crisis,
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. So the clay thing is all the way back in the 40s, made from clay.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
But the, spoilers for Wonder Woman moving forward, but the Zeus's daughter is a New 52 thing.
Yeah, I knew that. And that she was told the clay story.
Right.
But but the Zeus thing was the truth. That's New 52.
Again, which is not a John's thing, but that's the thing where you kind of go fingers.
Yeah, because he's so good at bringing together continuities.
Yeah.
Although, with the New 52, was it the Finches that kind of got rid of the... They got rid of the clay thing?
No, it was Azzarello.
It was Azzarello.
Azzarello. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I know when Rucka came on, it was like,
I think
this stuff is no longer happening.
Well, he came on after Rebirth, right?
Right. He came on after the Finches.
So basically, I think his run is basically like every Themyscira that she's gone back to visit has not actually been Themyscira.
Been the real one because she can't.
Or so any story that she's been told, anything isn't valid because she's never been back to the real place.
Which I was kind of interested in at first. In fact, I thought that the first issue of Wonder Woman post-Rebirth was my favorite of the first wave of Rebirth comics.
Yeah.
And the story has just sort of gotten stale for me since then.
I've actually suggested this to people because they are now coming out in collections. They separated his weird past and present story. So if you buy the collections, you get one complete story.
Oh, instead of
over the other.
Okay.
So I think that will actually be a lot better to read it in.
Going back for a second, so I'm very excited that there is finally, you know, we had the Halle Berry Catwoman. We had Elektra. We've had a couple of female-led superhero movies.
None of them good.
Notice how no one remembered those up until like this week.
Right?
Everyone's like, Wonder Woman's going to be the first female-led superhero movie? What about those two bad ones?
Right. But, you know, they were not.
They're not good movies.
They're not good movies.
Elektra's not terrible. To be fair to Elektra, it's not an awful movie. It's not a great movie.
It's
just a movie.
Yeah.
But it's not really anything. Yeah. Catwoman is an awful movie.
Terrible.
It's an awful movie.
But then this movie has so much going for it. We talked about how the story is great. It's got Jeff Johns' fingerprints on it. The story is great.
The recombining of the retelling of the origin, why the Amazons exist, where are the gods. Yes. Why Themyscira is there. All that stuff has Jeff Johns' fingerprints all over it. Because he's so good at taking an old history and rewriting it to make sense.
Right. Yes, exactly. He's so good at... Yes, exactly.
Well, so why the Amazons exist, why they're kind of powerful but not powerful, why Diana is different than the rest of them. Like, all of this stuff, it's got his fingerprints written all. It's all over it.
Yeah.
But I think that... I mean, director Patty Jenkins, like, she is the first woman to be directing... A major superhero. Who else?
Second. I read an article this past week that said she was the second. And I think Thor Dark World, because she was originally supposed to be on Thor Dark World.
She was supposed to be on Thor Dark World.
And she got replaced. But I think she also got replaced by a woman.
No, she did not. No, the guy, I can't remember his name, but he was a Game of Thrones director. And he also did Terminator Genesis.
So maybe Elektra or Catwoman. I know Catwoman has a
French director. It's a guy.
Elektra?
Maybe Elektra. I'll use my one lookup for that.
I've at least the article, and even I sat there and was like,
Who's the other one?
Because the article didn't say.
Well, much like Wonder Woman is not actually the first female led superhero movie. It's definitely the best one. Yeah. And she is the first of this wave, of this current wave, right?
Right.
To get to helm a movie.
The cohesive unit.
Exactly. And the first woman to helm a superhero movie about a female superhero. Mm-hmm. And I am just like, my heart like bursts with, the same way when we watch Supergirl, and obviously we have a separate podcast about that, but when we do, my heart just bursts with joy whenever I see like women who I know, women online, talking about how much it means to them. Little girls, you know, dressed up as the characters, like,
I saw a picture on Twitter this weekend. It was a comic writer.
Lexi Alexander directed Punisher Warzone.
Okay.
Oh, that was a good movie.
She was the first.
Yeah, okay. That was a good movie.
It is a good movie. That's an underrated movie. It's very violent, and that's why people were down on it. And it is kind of very, it's kind of very comic booky, which was not.
And it was direct to video.
No, it wasn't. I saw it in theaters.
Well, you saw it in the one theater that was showing it.
I saw it like 2 minutes from your house.
Okay.
It was very comic booky, which was not in at the time.
Yeah. Right, right.
And so I think that's why it didn't do well. But it is worth go back and rewatch it. It's a
absolutely
good movie.
But I was on Twitter and I saw, it wasn't Gail Simone, who's been tweeting about this movie all weekend.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Like, if you ever want to see somebody who works in the industry who has so much love for characters.
Oh, my God.
Follow Gail Simone and read her tweets about Wonder Woman this past week. But there was a great slideshow of five or six pictures of little girls going to see Wonder Woman, all dressed up as Wonder Woman in front of like the giant standee.
It was so cute. My heart. It's just my heart.
The first time you see Themyscira in the wide view, I was already crying.
It's just amazing. It's just, there's not representation. And I think we're seeing more and more just how important representation really is,
mm-hmm.
where just like everybody deserves.
Look, and if the past year of cinema has proved that female led movies can make money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Force Awakens.
Yes.
Rogue One. Like, despite anybody's feelings, whether you liked them or didn't like them or whatever,
they were successful films.
They were very successful films. They were loved critically and by most people, and they are female led.
Mad Max Fury Road.
It's technically a Mad Max movie, I understand, but
Mad Max Furiosa edition. Yeah, like, it is a female driven movie.
It's a female. Charlize Theron is that movie.
She is the reason the movie is what it is. Yeah. And that was so critically acclaimed and Oscar nominated out the wazoo. Like, that was a very successful film.
Yep. And Wonder Woman, I would say, is not riding a wave, but it's making the wave bigger.
Yes,
it's
not exactly. Riding,
you know what I mean?
It's actually calling attention to the wave.
Yes, that's exactly a good way of putting it. Yeah, because it's not like cashing in, but it's right place, right time, and well done.
Well, Star Wars has the Star Wars banner.
Yes.
So people are going to go see it no matter what.
But this is a trend right now, right? Like people are all coming to it at the same time.
Yes, but Wonder Woman has the... It's got momentum because it's a female-led superhero film by a female director.
Yes.
And this is... It's just important for cinema. It's not even just about important for superhero films or for the character, whatever. It's just important for cinema.
Yeah.
It's monumental.
Yeah. And even... Those are, I think, the very obvious things that we're calling out right now. To me, it's just a good superhero movie.
Yes.
Well done. And it doesn't...
Yep.
On another level, it almost doesn't matter that it's a woman who directed it and that it stars a woman. It's just a good superhero story. You know, and oh, by the way, she happens to be a woman. And oh, by the way, the woman was the director, that's actually
been my sticking point in the back of my brain this whole time since the first article showed up, like, directed by a woman.
Yeah.
It's kind of been bothering me. I'm like, I understand why everyone's saying it because it matters, because it matters, but at the same time, it shouldn't matter. And that's why it's bothering me. Yeah.
why did it take us this long?
Right.
It's really like, this should have been we shouldn't be having 50 plus years ago.
Right. We shouldn't be having this conversation in 2017.
Right.
They should have been having it in 1937.
Yes.
You know, but here we are, you know, all these years later.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's been bothering me that, like, that's the press around it.
Yeah.
But the press around it has also been like, hey, this movie's great.
Yes.
And here's why.
93% on Rotten Tomatoes, something like that?
I think
like
94.
94.
Did
okay.
it go back up again?
Up
it,
there.
It did.
We don't have to look it up.
The point is.
Yeah. Okay. The point is, it's way up.
It's 93.
Yeah, it's 93.
But know what it is? Rotten Tomatoes critic score 93%. Flixer user score 93%.
There you go.
Yeah. So
it's
like
that's never even.
This morning and yesterday it was at 94 because it was even with the first Iron Man.
Mm.
And yeah, Dark Knight and Iron Man are at 94%, both of them.
I mean, I am just beside myself with happiness about this movie.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
so good.
I just enjoyed it so much.
Yeah, so let's actually talk about the movie because we just spent a lot of time talking about everything but the movie. I don't know. There's so many places to start here. So maybe let's start with plot. Let's look at plot. What is the plot of this movie?
Yeah.
The plot is Steve Trevor, you know, lands on Themyscira or washes up on Themyscira after, you know, trying to outrun the Germans who he stole a notebook from because he is a spy in this movie.
I'm a spy. Yeah. I'm a spy.
I'm a spy. He's the best spy ever.
Yep.
Well,
it's the Last Hope Truth. What are you going to do?
And Diana believes that Ares is the cause of World War I, and she feels she needs to stop him by stabbing him with the God Killer sword.
Right.
Yep. So she leaves Themyscira. I do feel like we got cheated out of like the contest that typically happens to choose what
you
Amazon.
Know. I kind of thought that too, except that we kind of watched it in her training sequence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was basically what the contest would have been, and so it doesn't really bother me.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And you have Robin Wright Penn,
Robin Wright again,
training her,
who was awesome.
She was great.
Awesome.
She's great no matter what.
So but. I've seen this movie twice.
Oh, nice.
I saw it.
I'm jealous.
I saw it on Thursday with Palmer, and then I had somebody who wanted to go. So when Palmer and I saw Guardians, this person wrote on my wall, my Facebook wall. Was like, and you didn't invite me. Just kind of joking. I was like, well, you can join us for Wonder Woman if you want. He said, okay, great. So I said, this is when we're going to Wonder Woman, and he couldn't come. So I said, oh, well, I mean, if it's good, I'll probably want to, it's probably going to be good. I'll probably want to see it again. So if you want to go, and he's like, Friday, June 2nd. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm going again. and so I saw it Friday too, and I had different emotional reactions to different things each time I watched the movie. Different things hit me as important or emotional, which we could talk about as we're going.
Would you say it has good rewatch value?
Oh, it's great rewatch value. Yeah. I loved it. I liked it a lot when I saw it the first time. I loved it the second time.
That's what I anticipated.
Yeah, well, that happens with super. I was trying to explain this to somebody with superhero movies. Like, it's like total input. Like, I don't know how you guys watch them, but like, I'm trying to look at everything.
Yes.
All at once. And I'm trying to absorb dialogue and body movement and like and plot and it's so much input. It's kind of jarbled in my brain, and so then I need to see it again now that I've got like everything's there to kind of get everything.
Because then you can look for the little references and the little Easter eggs, the comic book things that you know, and like you can enjoy the setting and all that other stuff. Because now you know the story,
where things connect together,
and
you know like the first time I saw it. The stuff that she says to Ares at the end, you know, about love, it's about this. The first time I didn't remember that Steve had just said that to her 5 minutes ago.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I'm like trying to absorb all this stuff that. So the second time I was like, oh, yeah, right.
I get that impact.
It's fine when she says it and it's good, but it has so much more emotional resonance when you connect that together. And I just missed it the first time. Stuff like that. But even like watching Connie Nielsen's performance. When she's talking to young Diana and she's like talking about the God Killer and all this, like watching her performance, knowing that Diana is the God Killer is very interesting. She's giving a very layered performance that you wouldn't get if you didn't know.
Right. That I'm excited to see again on my second watching.
She might be. I mean, there's a kind of a lot of standout, like, wow, you did a great job in this movie. Like, from
looking
everyone.
At you, Etta Candy.
Looking at you, she was, she was so
great.
Yeah. Everybody, so that was all great, but Cunningham, she, like, what a performance she came in. The Themyscira, like, it almost felt like the beginning of Man of Steel to me, where it's like, I want a whole movie of this.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I want to know more of what's happening here.
Right. I thought we would end up back on Themyscira at a certain point. I thought that the war would go there, like Ares would come back there.
Yeah,
I thought we'd end up there, but we didn't.
And that was surprising with that bet. Well, even like the Germans on the beach and everything. Yep. I was like, wow, this is the beginning of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
This feels like an end of the
soon.
Movie.
Yeah,
kind of
yeah, right. Yeah. You'd expect it to culminate there.
Yep.
What did you guys? What did you feel about the romance and the way that it was handled? Because you know you want to see. An independent female character who doesn't like need a man, right? But there is a romance.
Yeah,
in this film.
I mean, there's definitely a romance, but takes a back seat.
So here's the thing: this is being independent and being a strong person doesn't mean you have to be alone.
No, that's true. That's true.
You know, and so I don't think this movie plays it like she needs Steve to get to the front. But
yep,
she
right.
doesn't
yep.
need him emotionally.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Right. She chooses to open herself
yes.
up emotionally
I
to
agree
him.
With that. I agree.
And I think that distinction is very clear in this film.
I agree.
But it's still a difficult position.
What, being on top?
Usually.
Yeah.
But
of the world.
You don't want to make it seem like Steve is necessary.
I think he is necessary. Certainly necessary to the plot.
Yeah.
I mean, she doesn't leave the island if it's not for Steve. If Steve doesn't show up, they never leave.
Right. Right.
This movie is about Diana's journey as a warrior.
Yep.
As a person, as all these different aspects of who she is, and. Diana's biggest thing, she says it multiple times in the film, is that the best way to solve the world's problems is to love. So if Diana doesn't experience
and
all kinds of love, then her mantra means nothing.
Right.
And so she needs to experience that
yeah.
for all of it to make sense.
That's an interesting, when you put it that way, I really like the way you said that, because I was struggling with maybe two or three, I love this movie, there were two or three things that were kind of bothering me.
You're talking about the implied sex scene?
No, it didn't bother me. That actually
bothered me. I didn't think it was necessary. I didn't think it was necessary.
It wasn't done gratuitously, though. And if you were a kid, it would have gone over your head.
You know what? Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know what it felt like to me?
What?
Because this movie, obviously, everyone said it parallels.
When was this?
When they're in the after the fight in Belgium, when she crashes through the church, which was a whole different kind of imagery. That you know
that crossed my mind, but I was like, that's probably just me thinking.
I think it was just me too.
But I heard someone else on another podcast say that. So,
did you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, at least some of us are thinking it. I was like, that they're making a statement, I think.
That's kind of what I thought, too. It's like,
they're making a
like...
statement about steeples. Yeah.
Don't like them.
Don't like steeples.
Less of those.
Less steeples. But anyway, so like after they dance and she sees snow for the first time,
right.
He brings her up to her room, and then he's about to close the door and leave, and then she kind of goes, and then she kind of looks at him, and he kind of looks at her, and then he closes the door, and he stays inside.
And they start making out, and then it fades out.
And then it cuts to the exterior of the hotel.
Where the hell was I?
I don't know. You were watching the movie.
Okay.
I don't remember this.
I thought you were kidding.
I honestly do not remember the scene.
But that's what I'm talking about. Like, this movie has like this rewatch. Yeah. This rewatch
I was
about.
So fixated go. On the snow.
There you go. Yeah. Well, I that didn't bother me so much, really. That was fine. But what did bother me a little bit was like, so wait, she's got the love of her mother and all these people like this tighten it. She's a life of loving people around
absolutely.
Her
right.
And then it's not until Steve that gives her like that love is what gives her the push she needed at the very end of the movie. That sort of bothered me. I was like, it's not until she meets the right man,
you know what,
that she has what she needs.
I don't see it that.
But when
see,
you put it that way, now it's like the full
right.
She has
every piece of the puzzle.
I mean,
you don't pine for your parents. You don't love, you know what I mean? Your parents, like, I mean, oh, I just You know, like when you started, when you fell in love with your wife, that's not the same kind of love that you have for your mom, hopefully.
No, 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 you're right. Know? Yeah. Also, well, I'm trying to think of a pun on Pine and Chris Pine, but I just couldn't get there. Palmer?
She
pines for him.
She has the love of her mother. And you're right. She has the love of the other Amazons. But let's not forget, she's a princess. How much stock do you really buy into the love of your people?
Well, that's a cynical take that probably has some merit too. But
that's true. But this is definitely from the Themyscira. We have to go off of the Themyscira that we've seen,
right?
Because we've talked about this on the Frank and I have talked about this on the podcast before. That superheroes are natural intertextuality. So every time you see Wonder Woman, an image of Wonder Woman, you subconsciously or consciously think about everything you know about Wonder Woman, every story,
right?
So when you see Themyscira, you think of all the politics that you've ever read about in a story about Themyscira and about Wonder Woman, but you can't bring that into this fold because that might not exist in this, that might not exist in this world.
Right.
And so the Themyscira that we see in this film is a fully functioning, well-rounded society where they work things out and there doesn't seem to, the worst political or the worst backstabbing that there is when Antiope trains Diana, thank you.
Right.
You're welcome.
And even then,
Antiope again.
And even then, it's like resolved pretty quickly where it's like, but you know I had to do that. Yeah, you're right. You're cool. It's fine. We're
right, good. Exactly.
We're high five.
High five for women's society.
Yeah.
Hello, Matrix.
So that was bothering me, but you kind of just explained that away in a way. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
The other thing that bothered me, and this is still sort of hanging for me, maybe you guys can help me explain this away too. The other thing that bothered me was, so we get to the end of the film.
Why is Ares white when they're supposed to be Greek?
Okay, we can go with that.
Why did he have a mustache even when he was full?
Okay, yes,
Ares.
But
shut up.
When
you know what? I really don't like the movie.
I hate the movie, forget it.
Actually, a lot of depictions of Ares do have him with a mustache.
Yeah.
Fun fact.
Well, that stupid mustache was stupid, and I hate it.
No, his mustache looked great. It looked stupid in Prisoner of Azkaban.
It fit for 1917, but it's...
All right.
Not a good look. Anyway, I liked
Vlad the Impaler that has a mustache.
I'm not listening to you anymore. I liked the ending and Steve sacrificing himself and all of that.
Let's get back to that.
We'll discuss. When we get to the end and she kills the general and she thinks that
who
she
was a
has,
real person? Did you know
I
that?
I did know he was a real person.
General Ludendorff was a real...
I have
something to talk about with that.
I didn't know when we were watching the movie, but after I since found out. But
I really thought you meant she like... the actor was a real person. I'm like, yes, it wasn't green. It wasn't like special effects.
Wow, special effects go great.
Amazing.
What great motion capture.
I thought that she thought she killed Ares, right?
Yeah.
And then he's not Ares.
Yeah.
So when she thought she had killed Ares, but the war was still going on,
right.
I thought there was going to be I thought that it was either going to be like a callback to Robin Wright being like, you can't expect a fair fight. Never let your guard down. He was going to like, get back up and be like, I'm not dead. That didn't happen. And then I was like, okay, maybe there's going to be a lesson about how even with the God of War dead, you know, humanity's not perfect, whatever, and that's where we get war, and that's how there's like a World War II.
You still
and
get
all that.
That.
Well, but then she kills the God of War, and then there's still a World War II and a Vietnam War and a Korean War and a Gulf War.
No. I have things about all... stuff to say about all of that.
So I'm setting this up because I'm like, give me your take on it because I'm like, we killed the God of War, but there's no reason why, now we don't have a reason why wars still happen.
Nope,
so
I have a thing.
Please.
I can answer all of those things.
Because we were left in a place that
I have thought about this.
Once the God of War is dead, the Germans are and the...
But your response better not be like Greek mythology is a load.
It's not. I have stuff to say about all of this. So, one, we'll go with the... See, I have a lot of different answers, so you can kind of take whichever one you like the most, okay?
Sure.
Three.
So, one, I saw the Ares twist coming a mile away.
He did.
I called it in the theater. My girlfriend was on one side, and Palmer was on the other side, and I was like, maybe after the first or second scene with David Thewis, Ares, and I was like, he's Ares.
Yeah.
Because Ares is supposed to be injured. You don't know where he is, and he's walking with a cane.
He did say that to me and then to the empty chair that was next to him. Yeah. I don't know.
So I did, because they made a point of saying he's injured and we don't know where he is. And so why would you introduce a character that has a limp for no reason? Except, like, there's no reason, there's no story reason why this would exist. There's no character reason.
Because
except,
he's an actor.
Except that he is, in fact, Ares. It's all a red herring.
Makes perfect sense, yeah.
Yeah, because everything that Ludendorff did, you know, like, this is for your strength. This, you know, he kills the guy, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you're just... You're the obvious answer to Ares.
Sure.
Right. And this movie is more clever than what you're giving
me.
Sure. And so
I thought he was very
Jeff John Fingers.
I thought he was very Red Skull the whole time. So I was like, this is like way over the top if this is really Ares.
And that's
like,
why I just knew it wasn't right. So anyway, so I was proud of myself because when Ludendorff died and then they both sitting on the other side of me, total silence, and then she looks down and David Thewis is in the box. I was just like, I just threw my hands up and I like moved my jazz hands. I was like, me, I did this. I told you, I ruin movies.
So unruin the part where when Ares dies, somehow that doesn't invalidate.
Okay, so there's a couple of different ways. There's a couple different ways to look at this, and this is not, I don't think this is the right answer, but so Ludendorff was a real general. Okay. So
Dr. Poison was not a real woman.
No, she's not a real
human. Know of.
She was a real woman. She wasn't a real person, you mean?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, good. Actually, Dr. Poison in the comics used to pretend to be a man.
Right.
Uh-huh. And she used to, that's why, like, the green that she wears and the goggles she used to wear to pretend to be a man so she could do her dastardly things for the Nazis.
Because they wouldn't take a woman seriously.
Because they wouldn't take a woman seriously. Yeah.
Also, you mentioned Nazis. It's worth noting that she was a World War II.
Because Diana's
initially World War II, although I think World War I makes sense.
I think it makes way more sense.
I loved World War I.
World War II is, it's clear who the good guys and the bad guys are. World War I is a little more ambiguous because it was just a whole bunch of Europe falling apart.
Yes.
Right.
Caused this war. It wasn't really so much about good guys and bad guys. It was just treaties falling apart.
Right, which is why this movie is... this movie is really good about not making the Germans the bad guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like,
That's not the point. It just really makes
two particular Germans the bad guys.
Dr. Poison and Ludendorff.
Right.
They're the bad guys. Right. It's very clear. It's also very interesting that they never really know about each other. I kind of liked that. That, like... They're like, Diana's goal is to get there, but they don't know.
Yes,
like they're following their own path.
Yes,
which
true.
Is not typical storytelling, but I liked that. So Diana kills Ludendorff. Okay, Ludendorff in real life, was part of he started this propaganda after the war was lost that it wasn't. Germany didn't actually lose the war, but it was like betrayed by people like civilians on the front. And this was one of the main propaganda tools that Hitler used to kind of start his regime.
Uh-huh.
And so if Ludendorff dies, that component doesn't exist.
Are you saying there's no World War II?
There's no World War II in this universe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's my real one. I'm just saying that's my interesting idea.
We're not choosing that one.
It's off the wall, but okay.
The second thing, Ares very specifically says,
yes.
I didn't do this. I didn't create this war. I only influence people the way, like, to kind of do something, but it's on them. It's always on them because Ares, this is a Geoff Johns flip of intentions. He's not trying to take over the world. He doesn't need souls.
Right.
He doesn't need ultimate power. All he's doing,
he's just there because there's a war going
on.
Okay,
I can buy those things. I can buy that, and so we can say that even when he's gone, his influence lives on. Is that what you're sort of saying?
Yeah, because he doesn't influence every evil influence the evil action of every person in the world.
Okay.
He's the god of war. He's not Satan.
Like, it brings it full circle with Queen Hippolyta even telling Diana that when you go out, I said it, Diana, that when you go out, you know, they're not going to be what you think they are. They're going to let you down. And that ultimately, that and not the death of Steve, which I've tried not throttling people who I've seen use that as the reason. The fact that they let her down and they are a warring people, even without Ares, is why she becomes disillusioned and doesn't do anything for years.
Ares originally corrupted them. That's part of the story that they tell with like the 3D Renaissance painting, which is super cool. Which also might tell us what that Aquaman's trident is Poseidon's trident. Because if you watch Ares, I noticed this the second time. So, you know, like Ares kills all the gods, right? Which also might open up why we have new gods in the DCEU.
Ooh,
because Ares kills them all.
So now there's new gods. Oh, I love that. Oh, man. Oh, bring on the fourth world, please.
Yeah.
No,
don't bring on the fourth world.
All right.
You're getting it.
We'll discuss.
I don't want it.
Darkseid is the fourth world. That's a thing.
No one knows that.
Yeah, I don't care.
Whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone knows that.
It's happening.
Yeah. I just said it.
All right, I love that.
Okay, so when he's killing all of them, you can see Poseidon flying, and you can actually see his trident, like, moving away off screen.
Oh, man, I can't wait to see this again.
Yeah, and it shows it a lot. Like, I was like, oh, that's cool. Oh, wait, it's there again. There it goes.
Oh, it's falling in the ocean.
Yeah, so, like, well, that's interesting. They added a scene of
it. There's a man in the ocean picking it up. Yeah. Oh, man.
Sebastian and Flounder are carrying it to somebody.
Yep. So,
I
think it's actually, I think it's like, this is also like what's bridging the connection between the Atlanteans and Poseidon. Because the war of the Amazons with the Atlanteans and the fourth world, Darkseid. And Apocalypse, that we've seen bits of the trailer in Justice League.
Yes.
We don't really know this, like when the gods died in, like, I would assume if the new gods are the replacement for the old Greek gods, then if the fourth world is a replacement for those, then you would assume that the Atlanteans already have Poseidon's trident.
Got it.
Which would maybe explain maybe why they can all live underwater. And, you know, like, there's a lot to play with there.
Yeah.
But I think this movie very, very, very discreetly told you
it's that. It's a very early setup for what's coming. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah. So anyway, in that scene, in that Renaissance painting, Hippolyta is talking about how Ares saw Zeus's creation as imperfect.
Yep.
So all he means to do as the god of war is to show his fellow gods that imperfection. Like, it's not about, like, he already sees it as bad. Like, they're already doing bad things.
Right.
And while the other gods are like, oh, them. Yeah. Don't worry about it. They'll figure it out. Ares is like, no, actually, they're terrible. And let me show you how. And I'll make them do more stuff. And so they can so all other wars that exist, Ares doesn't start them. He just thrives off of them because that's what he's trying to show people, how awful they are.
Okay.
Because if he's the reason,
like Jigsaw from the Saw movies, look how terrible you are. Let me show you.
If he's the reason behind it, then people just like, oh, it's Ares making them do it. I get that
they were very explicit about the fact that he's not making them do it.
Right.
He's just guiding them, like, here, let's have a truce. But, like, that's just a decoy. I really want you to keep, like,
right.
I get that. But I guess it still seemed like he was not causing these things to happen, but he was somewhat responsible for planting, for the urging of having those things happen. And so without him, it felt like those things should still...
No, that's just you.
There's definitely, like, you can even see his influence in the movie. Like, there's a scene where Ludendorff shows up at Dr. Poison. I think it's the second scene with Dr. Poison, and a little, like, breeze rustles some papers, and she picks up one of them, and she's like, oh, I've got it. It's hydrogen.
Oh, sure.
Right.
Ares does stuff like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't. So you know what I mean. So it's not even like him as. It's not even him as a human being. Like,
right.
Doing the same. Yeah. Right. It's like it's things like that that could be chance.
Right.
And so if Ares is dead, any other terrible thing that's happened is just because people stink. And so Diana's mission as an Amazon is to show love. That's why the Amazons were created. It says it in the Renaissance painting. That's what Hippolyta says. So with or without Ares, her mission is no different, because people are no different. You know, you can have a bad thought yourself, like, oh, maybe I'll cut out of work early today, you know, or you could have somebody at work be like, hey, let's cut out of work early today. You could still have the thought on your own, or you can have somebody say it to you, but either way, the thought is going to get in your head sometime.
All right. I need to see it again for what you just said to sink in for me, but mm-hmm. that starts to make a little sense.
Yeah.
I think once I've seen it again, then I'll be able to like match up what you said to all the moments you know, that it happened. Yeah.
I think you're really placing too much emphasis on Ares.
Yeah, I think
you
I am.
Know, and I think maybe that's because the point really is that people are terrible and she's here to show them there's a better way.
Yeah.
And I think you're placing too much. I think you're innately seeing people as ultimately good, and that's what's throwing you, and that's what's throwing you off. But the which is fine. That's great. It's a great way to live. But the film is telling you that
otherwise,
people can be pretty terrible to one another.
Yeah.
Without spiritual influence.
And I guess that is the lesson that she kind of learned was that like it's not people are. Well, she wanted to think that people were ultimately good, but Ares was ruining everything.
Right, because the whole time she's like, no, it's Ares. You need to take me to Ares.
Yeah. And
right.
she learns at the end that it's like, people are a little good and a little bad, and like people are a mixed bag. They're not all bad, and that's kind of the thing about them, but you can be a symbol to them of hope.
Right.
And that's something that I feel like these movies, the DCEU movies, have lacked up until now, was this sense of hope and the uplifting nature.
I agree. They've tried to say it. Like,
they tried to say,
like
but
Man
I feel
of
like,
Steel, like
yeah,
Man of Steel.
There's
like,
a guy
says it,
literally flying around with a symbol for hope on his chest.
Yes, but,
right. But
yes,
it doesn't,
but his dad told him to not save people.
Right,
and his mom told him you don't hold this world a thing.
Yeah, see,
so that's my problem.
The different that see that's the thing. So I agree with you there. So the difference is that like those movies are saying it, but they like they say it, but they don't act on it.
Right.
Where this movie says it and it acts on it.
Right.
And that's actually the difference in that because everything else because we Palmer and I were saying like the other movies are like they have jokes they're kind of funny you know what I mean like they
Suicide
have like
Squad especially
Suicide Squad
there's
like,
a lot of fun,
yeah,
a lot of fun
yeah there's a lot of fun in that movie there's a lot of fun yeah. in those movies something like BVS not as much to but it like they said
BVS
movies,
oh you mean BVS DOJ you forgot
yeah,
the
sorry,
title
BVS DOJ
yeah, yeah.
sorry but they even said like this is our dark movie this is our very
yeah.
dark one you know and so there are, you know, so this movie is definitely like you can tell it's like a we heard you,
but
movie,
yeah,
but we can deliver what we want to do, what we've been trying to do, and what you want
that's
at the
right.
same time,
and that and like look like that's great because like this movie is still
this
like,
felt a very DC movie.
It felt like I want them to feel like it still has. Visual dark elements. It has thematic dark elements.
Yeah.
But overall, it's a story about hope, and it brings out the best in this character.
Yep.
She is all the best things, the things that when you said before, Tim, when you think of Wonder Woman or when you think of Themyscira, when you see that as a comic book fan, as people who know these characters and these places, you conjure up like everything. Your Rolodex, your mental Rolodex goes off. All the things that you think of that character. I saw all those things in this character on screen this movie.
I think it helps that,
but I didn't see that in BVS DOJ for the other character.
Right. I think it helps that this movie essentially takes place before everything else,
100 years before.
So you have the ability to have that hope when you get to BVS DOJ. You've had a Batman who's been through the ringer and essentially broken down physically and mentally. And then with the emergence of Kal-El and everything that happened because of it, he's been pushed over the edge. Batman's been very much pushed over the edge.
Yes.
And Superman, this Superman lives in a world where while the Kents loved him and really wanted what was best for him, they were very skeptical of how the public would react to this person.
That's for sure.
And
so two things on that.
Yeah.
I think you're absolutely right on that. I don't want to tread too much on other movies. But so if you look at Wonder Woman as the pinnacle of hope,
right?
This movie is like the pinnacle of hope in their world. Don't forget, after this, according to BVS DOJ, she abandoned the world.
Yes.
Right, because we didn't live up to her expectation.
Right.
She's still growing in her own way. So for 100 years, the world declined from that moment.
You have World War II. You have
Vietnam.
Right.
You have the Korean War. I know not in that order, but you know maybe in this world it wasn't that order. So you know, and you kind of slope downward with all that stuff.
Right.
And the death of Superman
is the
darkest. ultimate pit that you can get to in that deep slide. And so from there, you can only go back up
My problem with that is that the death of Superman doesn't have that meaning if you don't have the heights of Superman.
Yes,
I agree with you. That's my ultimate
problem. This is what we were talking during dinner. We were talking about Into Darkness. It's the same thing.
Yeah,
it's
like Into Darkness.
Yeah, the death of the, none of that is earned. Yeah.
See, I feel while it, you, I can see the point of it not being earned, but I think it does what it's supposed to do. It inspires Batman to come out of that.
Yeah, but I feel like they're taking too long to tell that story where Wonder Woman works as a unit, like on its own. It works on its own. But the explanations I've heard about, like, oh, the reason you don't like Man of Steel or the reason you don't like BVS DOJ is because, like, oh, but Man of Steel, that's when he learned that killing, he wasn't going to be a killer. Or, like, BVS DOJ, like, well, his death is what ultimately inspires people to be better. But, like, those things only work because we know those things outside of the film, but it doesn't work in the film itself. It only works if you, like, take a step back and decide to explain it that way. But well, Wonder Woman works on, you could see this movie without seeing the other movies and it works on its own.
Yeah.
But I feel like BVS, DOJ or Man of Steel, you almost need to see them as part of,
they're definitely movie A and movie B.
And probably they won't even be fully contextualized until movies we haven't even seen yet come out.
Until Justice League.
I think
Justice League is ABC.
They have the Iron Man 2 problem, whereas Iron Man 2 came out and everyone went, ooh, this is too much setup and over confusing. But if you go back and watch it now, you're like, this is nothing. This is old hat. It's the same idea.
I
agree with that. My girlfriend, who is real, according to Palmer.
I like how you did that. Like, over to the couch where there's nobody there.
Put your arm around an invisible person who said that.
She said she's not real huge in superheroes, not really a thing, but this looked interesting to her, so she wanted to come. She said this, she's seen a bunch of them, but she's like, this was probably my favorite one because I never felt lost once during this film. She said other ones that I've seen, like, I felt like I was missing out on something. Like, I just didn't quite get everything they were talking about. So this is the first one that I've seen where I totally got it.
That's actually a very interesting point. I want to, was she referring to Marvel movies as well when she said that?
Yeah.
So that's a great point, because one thing I think this movie did better than Marvel, and I think Marvel has been sort of the gold standard up until now, but at least in this wave, current wave of superhero movies, I think what this movie did better was it didn't bog you down too much with this universe's continuity.
Yep.
You had the photo, right? Which is a carryover from BVS.
Bruce Wayne does love his email on
his
Surface Pro.
Exactly.
Or Diana really loves it, because I've seen Diana in two movies now, and both times she's emailed Bruce Wayne or gotten an email from him on a Surface Pro.
Yeah, clearly Microsoft is involved.
Yep.
But maybe one of them owns Microsoft.
Maybe. Oh, there you go. Maybe it's a Wayne Tech, Wayne Enterprises. But you know what I mean? Like, this doesn't bog you down with that. There are hints at it. It fits in like a glove. It fits right in. But you don't. It's not like episode 7 of a 10-episode saga, like so many of the Marvel movies are. And while I love that, because I'm all in on that saga,
if
you're just trying to see, you know, Age of Ultron, it's hard to watch movie.
If you walked into Captain America Civil War, you would have no idea what was happening.
Right? So confused.
But I mean, it is a sequel. Like,
it is.
It is up to the viewer to know this is the third part in a movie trilogy. I should probably at least watch the other two. Different.
Yeah, but it's not Civil War is part two of an Avengers.
Right, but that's my point is that it's third of a movie trilogy, but you should also watch Avengers 1 and 2. You should probably watch something on other Iron Mans. And
It's different than, like, oh, well, I'm watching Toy Story 2 without seeing Toy Story 1. It's different than that.
Yeah.
Because it's not like I have to see every Pixar movie for this to make sense. Mm-hmm. It's I need to have seen Toy Story 1 to understand Toy Story 2 and 3.
Yeah.
The Marvel movies are, you have to have seen most of the recent Marvel movies, except for Guardians of the Galaxy. You have to have seen most of the recent Marvel movies for anything to make much sense.
You know, it's true. I think leading up to Infinity War, obviously they're filming it now, we haven't seen it. So, but I think if you walk in to go see that movie, I think you'll have to have seen every single movie, probably except for Guardians Volume 2.
Everything that has an Infinity Stone in it.
I've actually heard, like, Guardians 2 also.
It does play, even though it doesn't look like it does.
Mm-hmm. Everything that has an Infinity Stone in it is going to need to...
Which is most of them.
Which is most of them. Well, you will have to have seen. I'm committed. Because it's more like a TV show. Like a TV show with 2-hour episodes that come out once a year, rather than
a film series.
And that's not a criticism. I love it. But I am saying, Wonder Woman did something good here where you don't,
but
it stands as a unit on its own.
But I mean, to be fair, you have to look at it as this is the third movie in this universe.
It's the fourth movie in this universe.
Man of Suicide Steel. Squad.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Fourth movie in this universe. But like Captain America First Avenger, it takes place before everything
before the
else.
Rest. Yes, yes.
So it makes it so much easier for it to stand on its own. I don't
okay,
know.
That's a fair, that,
I mean, Suicide
that's a
Squad.
Fair point you make.
Suicide Squad. You can kind of go into without really having yeah. watched everything.
It's yeah, really just. Yeah, it's really just Batman v Superman
right.
that you need
and
to see.
Probably Man of Steel. And probably Justice League. Justice League. You probably have had.
Yeah,
to
probably. Although
BDSD,
maybe, okay. maybe I would say. I think probably because I think like because you know it's a reaction to the death of Superman,
right?
But at the same time, people walked into Avengers without seeing Iron Man, Thor, or
yeah.
Captain America, and they were fine.
That's true.
Some things didn't totally line up,
yeah.
But that's where this Wonder Woman triumphs.
Yes.
So, you say Captain America. This episode is so long.
We are at double time here, but that's okay. It's
okay.
worth it. It's a good conversation.
Yeah. Okay. So, I'm glad you say Captain America because there have been.
That's what this movie was getting compared to.
Oh, it's a lot. Even before it came out, it was a lot
right.
of comparisons to Captain America. But there's tons of Captain America in here, even beyond just like, they take place during wars. And
oh,
it's
no.
A prequel.
There's so much.
They have their own little, like, commando of League of Nations. She has, like, her own little League of Nations.
Howling
like,
Commandos.
The Howling the Commando. Yeah. Howling the
Commando. She has
Howling
her own. Commandos. She has her own Howling Commandos. She has a guy named Steve, played by a guy named Chris, who blows up a plane at the end.
Yeah, okay. I want to get back.
Like, those are all things
I want to get back
up.
To that.
Spoiler alert, Justice League, he's found a nice.
Yeah, yeah, right? I mean, really.
Yeah, so.
A guy named Steve, played by a guy named Chris.
I know.
And they're both from Boston.
Oh,
that's not true.
Okay.
No, Chris Pine's not from Boston. Chris Evans is definitely from Boston, though.
Yeah.
You would have been convinced there. I would have believed you.
Someone used their lookup. I used Palmer's and my own, so it's up to Frank. Where is Chris
Pine
from?
All right.
Oh, God, I hope he's from Massachusetts. That would
that'd be hilarious.
That would be
I think
hilarious.
He's out from. I think he's out like around Washington.
Oh, really? Okay. He seems like a Midwesterner, I was going to say.
Everyone sounds like a Midwesterner.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
But.
That's just because you love Star Trek.
Star Trek.
I think he might just. Yeah. So anyway, so there are all these comparisons. I will say, but if we're going to compare them. I will say that there's one
born in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, ooh. I was right. Yeah.
Right.
So there's one thing I think that Wonder Woman, well, Captain America is one of my favorite Marvel movies, so I really don't mind.
It is. It
I
is
don't really don't mind that they're a lot alike because I love the Captain. I love that
yeah.
movie. It did two things that I think Captain America fell short at. One, it fell short at believing the camaraderie of the Howling Commandos.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I really felt that camaraderie with her League of Nations,
right.
whatever yes. you want to call them. One of them was a Black Hawk.
Yes.
The guy with the, I can't remember his name. Sammy.
Chief.
Oh, is Chief a Black Hawk too? Because Sammy's a Black Hawk.
The guy with the fez.
The guy with the fez is a Black Hawk.
Oh, you mean like the original,
like
Black
the fight,
Canary.
Like the fight. No, like
the
fighter
fighting Blackhawks.
Yeah, the fighter pilots.
Yeah, okay.
Which Black Canary was not a part of.
Yeah,
positive.
Okay,
positive.
Continue.
I teach a class on this boy.
Yeah. But do you teach it well?
Yes. Oh. Good question. Good
throw
question.
Down.
We'll come back to the end, at the end of the class. So I thought it worked well there that they just didn't feel like cannon fodder.
Yep.
Right.
Like they were actually characters and you know like they all had their own emotional like tracks and reasons in this war and stuff like that. I thought that was great. The second thing I thought it did really well was actually show the horrors of war.
Yep.
Which Captain America did not do.
Did not do.
It
no,
was it was very much like the Indiana Jones of World War II. Like war can be fun when you're Indiana Jones or when
right.
you're Captain America, whatever, you know.
War can be fun when
Marvel,
you're
it's all
Jones.
Sunshine yeah. and rainbows.
Yeah. So I think that's where this movie really worked, where
yeah.
Yeah.
every time she saw somebody in pain, I felt her pain.
Yeah.
Yep.
She was so good
yeah.
at zeroing in on that.
It was interesting you were talking about her League of Nations. One of the best bits that I've read from someone who watched the movie and was critiquing it wasn't necessarily about how this was a female-led movie,
mm-hmm.
but how much diversity was in this movie without it being like, hey, look at all this diversity. In her League of Nations,
yes.
the chief, you know, is a Native American.
Yep.
And one of and it's kind of just a brief part. It's not even a throwaway part.
It's the part of the campfire, right? Is that what you're going to talk about?
No, when they first, when she first meets him,
yep,
he says a quick little thing in Native American, and it was such a small thing.
Not a language, but I know you don't know what tribe it's from, so it's okay.
I honestly don't remember the tribe it's from. Language, otherwise, I would say it. Yeah. But in his tribe's language, it was a very small thing. But this person who was, I believe, from that tribe was just like, they were like, if he did nothing else in the movie, if he just walked off screen and never came back, like, that was one of my favorite moments of the movie.
Wow. Wow.
And the fact that, like, this small, like, the character had stuff to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, I kind of, like, it was funny because you left to go to the bathroom at one point and you came back.
Yep.
And you were like, did I miss anything? I'm like, I'm pretty sure this guy is, what's the guy from the...
Apache Chief.
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure this guy is Apache Chief. And you're like, oh, yeah. But, I mean, like, this character spoke to this person so much. And it just goes to show, like, how much diversity was in this film without it feeling like it didn't have to trump it up.
Yeah.
It was just part of the film. Mm.
There's that scene, which I missed because I was in the bathroom, so I got to see it
right.
The second go-around. Also a benefit of, you know, going to a movie.
Sure,
place.
Yeah.
Was the scene around the campfire where everybody's sleeping except for Diana and Chief.
Right, and they sing, row, 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 row your boat.
They did not. And so, there's a lot of rows.
Right, it's called a reference.
Yeah. Where she talks about, like, you know, who are you fighting for? And he says, right. Nobody. I have no people.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, who took them? And he says, his
people. His people.
People.
Yeah.
You know, like that. Because, like, that was, it was really subtle.
Oh, that was.
But, line wasn't subtle. But her face, the face that she made,
right.
she absorbed so much information in that second.
That's right.
Yeah. And the way that she processed it on screen was great.
Yeah.
That was actually, that was very quick. It was a very quick, and I was kind of surprised that she didn't like that didn't come back around. But I was glad that was in there because it could not go unmentioned.
You know what?
I'm
glad it didn't come back around because here's the thing is like around the campfire he does that scene, they're all asleep and they can have that one on one heart to heart.
Yep.
And like she can be like, oh, not even his people are clean. But if he does it and they're all awake, it becomes a comedic scene of her going, what the heck did you do?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point. That's a good point. Speaking of the Captain America reference, she picks up her League of Nations in a bar or a pub.
Oh,
just like Captain
America. That's where you go.
That's where they keep the best leagues of nations.
For a second, I thought it was the same one. I thought it was the same pub.
Oh.
There's just one bar in Europe.
Yeah.
They're all modeled after it.
Yep.
Yep.
It's a chain.
It's a chain. It's Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah.
Did you like the
loved it.
Did you like the Superman the movie references?
Yes.
Yeah.
You mean the glasses?
The glasses. Oh, just because she puts on glasses, she's not the most beautiful woman you've ever seen.
Which, to be fair, it knocked her down a couple.
I would not agree.
I don't agree with that statement at all.
I would not agree at all.
As a glasses wearing person, I agree.
You're crazy.
No, you're crazy.
Gal Gadot, as I've heard the name pronounced so many times, and I've heard her pronounce it in a few shows, and it's Gadot, not Godot, not Gadot.
It's Gadot.
Gadot. And if I'm wrong, well, I'm wrong, but I've heard her say it all the times. I went back and watched the extended version of BVS DOJ after having seen Wonder Woman,
right.
Specifically, mostly for her, because I wanted to see. I remembered her being the best part of that movie for me.
She was a really good part. I'd probably agree with you.
Okay, great. So, but she was my favorite part, and I wanted to see it again. And the stark difference, in a good way, where she was in Wonder Woman, she was, I don't want to say naive, because she wasn't really naive. You know,
right. She was a little naive.
But she was a little more on the naive side.
When it comes to the Ares stuff and the nature of... human nature, she was definitely fighting in this kind of stuff.
Yeah. Just she didn't know our culture, she didn't know Western culture, right? But
oh,
then her
baby.
But yeah, right, yeah, I loved that. But then contrast that with how confident and smart and kind of conniving she can be in BVS DOJ, and you know, when where how she she gets Bruce's, you know, disc and puts it back in his car without him knowing and all that kind of stuff. She's come a long way in 100 years. And, and I love just how she's almost completely two different people because it's 100 years apart.
Yep.
I love that it's not exactly the same, but it's similar enough that you can see how she got from A to B.
Yeah.
And there's a whole middle part that I hope we get to explore at some point.
That we'll never know because the sequel will just be current.
Actually, Patty Jenkins did say that the sequel will be current.
Will it really?
Yeah.
I'm a little bummed about that because I'd like to see her somewhere in the middle.
No, because she gave up on humanity for 100 years.
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
I also felt like Steve dying was kind of good. Like, I was like, it was kind of necessary because he wasn't going to be in a sequel.
Yeah.
Is it necessary for me to drink my own urine? No, but I do anyway because it's sterile and I like the taste.
There's some things I don't need to know about you.
Yeah.
Guys want to see Dodgeball?
Sure. No. No one's ever seen it.
You're missing out. I hope that's not true.
All right. We are officially past the double point here.
Sure. Okay. So if that's the case, we need to go on for another half an hour. No,
okay.
We
cannot go on without mentioning the No Man's Land scene. That was like phenomenal.
Well, that's so. So I said I had different emotional reactions to things.
Yes, please.
So the first time I saw the movie, I welled up when Antiope died.
Oh, yeah.
Because I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah.
And I just was like, oh, my God. Like, she's dead.
Yeah.
Jim.
Absolutely.
nice.
The second time was No Man's Land.
Yeah.
It took me to watch her full arc in the movie to go back to it to feel that resonance with her walking up those stairs. Probably because I've seen it so much in the trailers or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen the moment so much, I was a little desensitized to it.
I understand that. I know what you mean.
Yeah, I wasn't really tracking her journey, just her. I was watching the whole thing. Yeah. So
the first time I was like, oh, that's the scene from the trailer.
Yes, that's, that's the scene from the trailer. The second time I was like, oh my God, she's doing it.
Yeah.
And I got emotional. I welled up again because I cry in movies.
I felt
all the time.
I felt about that scene the way I feel about a good Superman movie. Like when Superman saves the space plane and Superman returns.
Like the first time you hear, da, 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 da.
Yes, like that. I got so excited and I got that like, that feeling, that feeling in your heart where you're like, he's doing it. Where it's just like, you know, Batman's doing the thing, or Superman's doing the thing.
You're doing it,
or,
Peter. You're doing it.
Or whatever. Yeah. You know, like whenever.
I get that way when I watch Hook when he flies again.
Okay, great.
It's that same.
Great.
Like, he's doing it.
Different movies do it for different people. And I got that feeling in this movie, which I haven't felt in a DC movie in a very, very long time. So I'm grateful to Patty Jenkins for making me feel that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what you want from these characters. That's what you want from these movies.
Yes.
Very quickly, I know we're really over.
Please.
The death of Steve.
Yeah.
Really emotional. It made sense. Again, it all makes sense. What doesn't make sense is, I think he could have just landed the plane elsewhere.
Yeah.
Now, we already pulled that trick with Dark Knight Rises.
So two things. So Dark Knight Rises is the bomb. The bomb's going off.
Right.
You know, that's different. There's a time, there's a countdown. Captain America, the controls are broken. He cannot control the plane. It's going down.
Right.
The plane works fine, Steve. Just go land it over there.
Yeah.
He doesn't know how to fly.
He's a pilot.
But not of that specific plane.
He's a he's a pilot.
I wouldn't buy that.
And I didn't think
nice
of
try.
It. I didn't think of it. In either time watching the movie, it was only afterwards I was like, wait, there was no reason. I mean, apart from like we have to get rid of the gas because it's very dangerous. But again, you could probably figure out a way to get rid of it without just blowing up
the
plane.
But where are we now? We're in Belgium or Germany at this point?
We're in Belgium still.
Is there an uninhabited place he could land that plane?
It's a plane full of fuel.
Antarctica.
He could just fly anywhere.
But it's got a time bomb on it. It's going to go off, right?
I don't.
That plane is going off.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I missed that scene twice.
Yeah.
I feel better about it now.
Yeah.
I missed that there was a tie. I didn't think there was a timer.
Yeah, because the whole,
I was like,
oh, yeah,
the whole point was that to release that gas over everything.
Right. Right.
I thought it was a manual control where it would just like fly to
Like someone wasn't just going to throw out vials here and there.
Well, no, but I mean, like they could have.
It was on a timer,
like that.
So it's going to go off at a certain point anyway. So I don't think he could get far enough away before
the
timer.
Okay,
goes
then
off.
Never mind. My whole thing is muted. I feel way better about his.
Okay,
Because I didn't think of it either time, and then but like on reflecting,
they
I was like,
they showed a little gauge that was like a little clock.
Oh, yeah. I missed that.
However, he blows up the plane.
Yeah.
Won't the gas just get into the atmosphere at that point?
I think we just hand wave that away where he's high up enough that
it's the atmosphere. It's not gonna gas isn't gonna float down. You know, it's gonna dissipate. And two, he is not releasing the gas. He's blowing it up.
Right.
So you know, he's making it he's literally combusting the thing. So it's not gonna
work. He's burning it up. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not gonna work. Okay. So. Yeah, I thought he handled I thought Chris Pine handled that scene really well. You can kind of again see the wheels turning in what he did. Chris Pine, well,
unlike when he died in Into Darkness, so
he learned, it was prepping. That was all prepping.
I could do it that way, or I can do it good.
Me do this way.
Chris Pine, I think, is an underrated actor across the board because everyone always goes, "Wow, Chris Pine, you're great." Yeah. Understand how good he is. Like, nobody really gets it.
Yeah.
He's so good. Probably because when he's in these big movies, they need him to play a very particular kind of character.
Sure, right. Sure.
You know, he's the Indiana Jones of this movie.
Yeah.
Or the Michael Douglas in Romancing the Stone or whatever. You know, say some funny things, throw a punch, you know, have a good heart, you know, be that guy.
Yeah.
But I've seen him be in some stuff where he is unbelievably good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is usually really good.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked the Steve Trevor because Steve's normally, when you see him, he's kind of a womanizer, whatever. And this one, he's kind of like a reluctant womanizer where he's like, yes, I've been with Whitman. Yes, it's just, it's not polite. I just, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's
still a gentleman. You know, yeah. He's still.
I don't think the CG in this movie was great.
No, I agree. There were moments where she like jumps up to like.
Yeah, it didn't look great.
And it's like, oh, I can see when it went from being a person to being CG. Like,
she moved weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every time it was a fully CG rendered body, they moved weird.
Moments.
I was actually, we had that discussion, and that's how DC has kind of chosen to show them doing these superhuman things. Because I've noticed the same thing with Superman.
Yeah.
And that's what they've decided, it's consistent and right, wrong, or indifferent. I actually like it.
It is consistent. I will say that it is consistent across the board. Since Man of Steel, you can tell when they're not quite real. I thought the lasso looked kind of weird. Didn't have a lot of heft to it when she was moving it around. So I thought
I think that's the point because it's magical that it wouldn't. Just be a leaf on the wind.
Sure. I always kind of imagine it like a real lasso,
like a rope,
like a rope. Right. And maybe it's lighter, so that's good. Really, what did you think of Ares' outfit? Did you like that he like made his outfit from bits of metal?
I thought that was interesting. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, he's very comic accurate.
Another thing that with the CG, they did this thing where they left a stupid mustache on his face, even after he was, you know, all.
Wait,
airy.
He had a mustache.
Was a sex scene.
You did
see this movie, right?
You could see it. Like in the helmet, you mean?
No, yes. Oh, it was a joke.
Oh, okay.
About how
yeah.
They should have gotten rid of it.
Why are you hating on the mustache?
Is it because he never twirled it?
That's it. All right. That's it.
Then I'll agree.
Needed more twirling.
Yeah. But I mean, they would have given it away.
Yeah, fair. Fair.
All right. Well, I'm sure we could go on, but this is.
I feel like there's still so much to say, but we are way. Yeah.
Well, maybe
our time,
we'll come back to it when it comes out.
I feel like I have to go watch this movie.
I kind of want to do a commentary on it when it comes out.
Oh, we could definitely do a commentary.
I have enough to say about it.
Yeah.
Do that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's plan on that.
Okay, cool.
In the meantime, you can find us on the internet at beerwithgeeks.com, at thoughtbubbleaudio.com, at beerwithgeeks on Twitter. You can also check us out on Facebook, Beer with Geeks. Of course, email us, beerwithgeeks@gmail.com. Find us on all the places where you find your podcast, whether that's the Stitcher, whether that's the Overcast, whether that's the Satchel podcast player, or whether that's good old Apple Podcasts, where you can leave us ratings and reviews. You know, you could just leave us a 4 or 5 star rating. That's fine. Or if you want to spend a couple extra minutes and tell us what your favorite part of Wonder Woman was, please do, and leave us a longer review as well.
Hashtag mustache.
There we go. Yeah, we want to see your hashtag mustache iTunes reviews. But thank you, Palmer, for joining us and giving us your thoughts.
No, you're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you, Tim, for explaining things to me about the film and making me feel even better about a film that I already loved.
You're very welcome.
All right.
Well, until next time.
Cheers.